Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Didn't I say you two would be naturals?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 9, 4-2 Tango. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hi.
Hello, listeners. Before we get into this episode, a quick note. Here's what's coming up on the Patreon. Again with this episode 228 that drops Friday, February 21st. Let's watch Michael Pitt in the pilot of Della Ventura. This is a vintage show with Danny Aiello in the lead. You can watch it on YouTube. This particular print has all the vintage commercials in it. So if for no other reason, you should definitely watch along with us. And to get the most out of that experience, you should join us again with this podcast.com/club. Any commitment gets you all of that extra material. So we hope that you'll come along for the ride.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into this episode, I did do a little research that I alluded to when we were in episode 8. This is reportedly the first one with Greg Berlanti as showrunner after Alex Ganza, formerly of The X-Files, got fired largely to complaints from the cast. He's the one that fans tend to blame for storylines like the Jen and Pacey friends with benefits situation and for Eve's everything.
Yeah.
And I know it's partly because of just how the season works, but like, we sure never really hear about football again after this, I believe. I think that's the end of that, too. I could be wrong. I guess we'll find out. We'll also link to a Vanity Fair story from 2018 about this phase of the show from the writer's perspective, which includes the tidbit that James Van Der Beek and Joshua Jackson weren't getting along at this point in the run. So the writers avoided putting them in scenes together, which explains a lot about the silo-y season.
And they did kind of make it sound like as of publication time on this piece that they still basically were like not estranged, but just like don't know each other, which is a little unusual. I mean, I guess not because, well, whatever reasons.
Yeah. So hit the show notes for links to both of those. There's a Reddit thread and then the Vanity Fair story, which is very good and juicy. Let's get into it. Speaking of really good and juicy, starting with our B plot. Sorry. Andy tries to matchmake Jack and the state's only other gay teen. We open here with Andy and Jack at school. Jack has a huge sheaf of papers that turn out to be emails from people who saw Dawson's report about his joining the football team when Dawson put the segment on the web. I guess he had a real player link or something. This is way pre-YouTube.
I know.
And the emails are all on paper because in the olden days, you couldn't just pull emails up on your phone. It was a different time. Andy's impressed by how many people Jack reached, while I am impressed by how nicely her bangs are growing out. Actually, they look kind of okay in this episode. You'll see them in the visual aids.
Yeah. Now we're into a needs a color update.
Uh-huh.
Like just needs a couple foils.
Yep.
Because there's a line. But I'm not one to talk in that regard right
I think
now,
you
so
look
yeah.
Lovely, but.
Oh, thank you. This is bad video here on Zoom. Thank God.
People don't need to know that. Naturally, not all of the emails are supportive. Clip two.
Dear Homo, too bad Capeside didn't make it to regionals. Our linebackers are looking forward to playing Smear the Queer.
Oh my God. That's so sad. I mean, some poor dumb cheerleader is wasting all of her prime boy chasing years on this closet case. Okay, this one looks good. Dear Jack, saw the story about you on the web. Have you been deluged with letters addressed Dear Homo?
Deluged?
Thank you.
Okay.
A Thank you. Also, yeah, I know that it was a different time and people are still doing this, but just because someone is a bigot doesn't mean that they're a closet case. That just demeans everyone involved and lets them off the hook.
Yep. Thank you. Saves me having to say it. Also had that in my notes anyway.
Yeah, I know you did.
I know you know. Andy reads on clip 3.
If not, I'm sure they'll come soon. That's what happened to me when I took another guy to the prom last year and the story got picked up by the AP Wire.
Who's that from?
Some guy named Ben. Ben Street. If you ever need to talk to someone who's been there and lived to tell, you can find me in the pink pages under Out Teens.
Give me that.
Gotcha. You should write him back. Sounds like a nice guy.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna write this guy back. I mean, he's a total stranger. What would I say?
I don't know. Say anything. Worked for John Cusack.
Okay, that's a reference. It's not really a joke. Like, I don't actually get it, but sure.
Yeah, he also didn't just say anything. And that behavior has been held up as romantic when it's actually stalking. Never letting that go. I'm not a crackpot.
In the library later, Andy pretends not to know how to search democracy on the World Wide Web as a pretext to start a conversation about finding a boyfriend. It's 1999, in case you forgot. Clip 4.
You know, you really should have your own website. www.annoyingsister.com.
Truly a joke construction that was dead the first time anyone did it, even one time. Like, it was maybe funny, truly, just that once, and that was it.
I know. It sort of came back a few years ago as a joke, and then now that's dead also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Andy really thinks Jack should write back to Ben. He lives nearby, and they could end up being friends or whatever. The guy Ben took to prom might not even be in the picture anymore, and Jack has to seize the day, and if he doesn't, Andy will do it for him. But while she's been chattering on, Jack has blanched at an IM from Ben himself. When Jack doesn't answer, Andy turns around and sees what's happening. Jack wants to make the IM go away, but Andy orders him to respond, and with one hi, everything changes forever, and please go to the visual aids to see all of the fontery related to these shots.
Yeah.
There's also a, you can see behind Jack's shoulder on one of these shots, like the Cape Side High homepage with the Minuteman on it. It's so vintage. And of course, like, needless to say, they're using the colored IMAX. That's what's in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, take me back. The next day we learn Jack's been using his tangerine iMac to learn a lot about Ben. He and his prom date weren't really a couple and just went together as a statement. Ben is a saxophonist, a Charlie Parker fan, nobody's perfect, and a track star. Andy wants to know what Ben looks like, and Jack says it doesn't matter because this is the past and Ben doesn't have an Instagram full of thirst traps yet. The eavesdropping librarian breaks in to say she dated a guy from the internet once and he was hideous, which, first of all, ma'am, you're an adult. Stay out of these teenagers' conversations. But it does, in the second place, convince Jack to get a picture of Ben after all. Andy's like, one formal, one casual. That was really funny.
That was really funny.
And later, both siblings are alone in the library waiting for Ben's photo to load one layer at a time. And there's a GIF of this. It really took me back.
It really did.
Andy's like, he's hot. And when Jack agrees, she's surprised to hear him express attraction to a guy for the first time. Jack says Ben's attractiveness is empirical. Photo sent. Ben IMs to ask what Jack thinks. And Andy tells him to say Jack thinks he should come to visit. But Jack can't do that. It's too soon. Andy offers to go with him. And when Jack doesn't bite, she tells him to set up a meeting somewhere safe and public. Jack is so nervous, he's shaking. So Andy takes over the keyboard and suggests they meet that night for coffee. Ben thought Jack would never ask. And Andy's busting, but Jack looks like he's gonna barf. And later, Andy comes over to Graham's house before Jack's coffee date to offer uninvited notes on his outfit. His love life is important to her because if she ends up a bitter old maid, she intends to come live with him as his boyfriend. And yes, she thinks he will have one. Clip 5.
It hasn't occurred to you that this whole online thing would be a complete disaster?
Oh, it is.
Many times, sir.
We covered that.
Many times.
The worst case scenario, Andy thinks, is that Jack and Ben will meet, they won't vibe, they'll drink their mochaccinos, teehee, and that'll be the end of it. But Andy has a feeling it will go well, but Jack doesn't. Clip 6.
This is a whole new level in my life that I don't even know if I'm ready for. When I walk through that door and I say hello to this guy, my entire life is going to be different. I'm not just going to be telling the world that I'm gay. I'm actually going to be gay.
Jack. You'll be gay anyway. I mean, if you don't go, you'll be gay and without a boyfriend.
Hey, why don't you put a lot of pressure on it? That'll help. Wow.
Yeah. Also, why don't you not write lines paralleling Kirsten's discomfort with the story? Well, that'd be better.
Yes. I know our listeners are aware, but just a PSA, just because two people are gay doesn't mean they'll be suited for each other literally at all. Like,
yeah.
In this case, at least Ben saw Jack in motion on TV and he reached out and, you know, he knows part of Jack's story. He was attracted to something in it, but there's no reason to necessarily think it's mutual. Like, relax. Yeah. Let's see if they can even be friendly. That might be a stretch even.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see Jack next, he is psyching himself up to meet Ben at the cafe of Molly's Market and watches through the window as Ben sips his drink and guards what is to be Jack's chair. And Jack reaches for the doorknob, but we don't see him again until he comes back to Grams's house, where Andy is waiting alone at the kitchen table to hear his first date story. Weird that, like, what was she doing? She's just sitting there all night. Jen wasn't home. Like, we know where G was. Strange.
Yeah. Or just, like, why wouldn't he go to your house or, I don't know, call you from Amps? Yeah, that's very weird.
So Jack says he still hasn't had a first date and he doesn't want to tell her what did happen because she's just going to nag him about what he did wrong. She is hurt that he's not letting her support him the way he usually does her. And he sighs that he panicked and didn't go in. He saw Ben and then he saw a straight couple that made him feel like in that moment he wanted to be them and not himself. He guesses he's not brave enough to walk through the door. But Andy insists he's been brave all his life. Fear is life's way of telling us we're not ready for certain things. And she has learned when to push and when not to from annoyingsister.com. When it's right, Jack will know it. But the scene ends on them sitting pretty far apart at the table, not hugging, and he looks more isolated than ever, and I was thought that choice was curious.
Yeah, you could also have noted that Ben was pretty clearly 29 years old.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I guess that sort of added some plot that they didn't want to deal with, but yeah, I mean, you know, the usual casting problems in terms of getting extras who don't have all of their temples visible.
Yes.
Continues to be a problem. Bad enough that it's a problem with Dawson, but we'll get to that.
True. Yes. Ben, you're right. Ben did not look like he took anyone to the prom last year so much as a dozen years ago. On to the A plot. Pacey juggles two very different relationships with two very different partners. We open on Jen and Pacey making out on Dawson's bed. Abruptly, Pacey stops and kind of stares at her quizzically, whereupon they are both forced to admit they are just not attracted to each other, including when he straddles her and holds up a condom, which you can see in the visual aids. Like, even that doesn't get you there? Okay. They exposit about all the steps they took to make today work, but when they try again to eat each other's faces, nothing has changed. Jen suggests they try for a week to rekindle the sexual ember from the island. And as they're putting their shoes back on to leave, Pacey hears the door close downstairs. Jen books it out the window, but Pacey's gone back for his other shoe, arranging himself to pretend to play Crash Bandicoot by the time Dawson comes back. Pacey tries to sidle out, but even the famously self-involved Dawson can't help noticing Pacey is only wearing one shoe. And it is actually surprising Dawson could see his feet because the pants are pooling. Just pooling around his ankles.
Like draperies.
Yeah.
Everything about this is extremely wrong, but that they would want to do it in Dawson's bed, not for like vengeful reasons.
Yeah.
Is really tacky. And as things unfold, it just seems like maybe Pacey doesn't have the like latter presumption of innocence that Joey and others have had, which is like, okay, decide whether they have been best friends. Not that they will be for much longer. Spoiler.
True. Later, Pacey is summoned to the office of, I guess, a guidance counselor named Mr. Kapanos, just like the new writer Tom Kapanos, who in 2018 would tell Vanity Fair the Eve arc was a, quote, colossal mistake, end quote. So we're on this guy's side. Mm-hmm. Mr. Kapanos, the character, mentions having gotten Pacey's file from Mr. Milo, who I guess retired since he was in the Homecoming Queen episode. He's mentioned later in the episode. He didn't, but it's weird. Like, why not just get Mr. Milo? Maybe he had a shift at Home Depot that week. And Pacey enters.
Aww.
Well, I'm just saying, I assume all of these actors have other jobs.
Yeah, no, and they should.
Pacey enters babbling excuses for whatever he may have done. But the issue is that Pacey is failing math and nearly failing everything else. Mr. Kapanos asks if something has changed outside school, assuming problems at home. But Pacey immediately shuts down and says it's nothing like that. And that the girlfriend Mr. Milo told Mr. Kapanos about is not his girlfriend anymore. Pacey tries to hustle out, but Mr. Kapanos says whatever is bothering Pacey, he shouldn't let it win. And Pacey mutters that maybe it already has. And sometime later, Pacey runs down Joey, who reminds us dumpy pants were not only a boy thing in 1999, the flares. You can see them in the visual aids, too.
God.
They're like real wide.
Yeah, at least you can demonstrably prove that there are legs in there.
True.
Sigh.
He compliments Joey so extravagantly that she knows he needs her notes from the trig class he missed while he was trying to fuck Jen. Not that she says that part, obviously, because she doesn't know. When he is perplexed by the term cosine, a worried Joey tells him he will never catch up in time for midterms and cuts him off before he can ask her to tutor him. When she says one of the few obligations on Pacey's undemanding schedule is having to feed the dog, I must ask, why have we not seen Pacey interacting with his dog not even one time? You think I don't want to see Pacey and a dog? Because I fucking do.
Hey, maybe they just didn't want to get innocent viewers pregnant just from the right. sight
Fair.
Of Pacey and a golden doodle, because I know what would happen to me.
Or even a German Shepherd if it's like a retired police dog. Like, and I'm not picky. It's fine. Mm. Pacey admits to Joey he's failing math, so if she will help him, he will do anything she wants. Smash cut to the Starlight Dance Studio, where Joey has changed into a long skirt and pointlessly low heels for a ballroom dance class. Pacey's apparently spending stepping on her toes. Annoyingly, we're supposed to think he waited until class was underway before asking why she's taking it. So, clip 7.
Every year, the Starlight School offers a $1,500 scholarship to the high school student who best exemplifies the spirit and grace of ballroom dancing. Now, if you look around, there are about 6 people here who wear their teeth a bit low and go to high school with us.
Which would make you want a shoe-in?
Well, I do have to complete at least one of the 2-week courses.
Why didn't you get Dawson to do this with you? Or Jack, for that matter?
Because they don't know me like you will. After I perform CPR in your math grade...
So that's the trade-off. One study session for one dance class.
That's the trade-off.
Yeah, excellent.
What did I say about Ribcage's touchers?
And refresh my memory, who's leading here?
I'm trying, but Janet Reno here doesn't exactly make it easy on a fella, you know what I'm saying?
Like you even know how, Pacey. You lead.
Janet Reno, wow.
Oof.
Yeah. That's a name I haven't heard in years.
I understand why this had to happen and in this manner, but it was like, I can't decide if I'm like annoyed by how clumsily done it is. Because as you noted, they did that like silence in the car until we get to a set with a camera on it. And then we'll have this conversation
right
thing, which I hate almost as much as the what were you going to say?
Nothing. Yeah.
But this is also like, she could have just said, all right, I need a partner my own age at this, and you have to do it. Like, there's kind of no reason that they couldn't have just had a scene doing that and then have the fighting over who's leading, which is also hack.
Yeah.
So part of me is irritated by that, but part of me also, not admires exactly, but I respect that they're like, okay, new regime. We're stripping this down to studs and starting over. And I don't totally hate that they're like, all right, for this episode, there's just going to be a lot of crap that doesn't hang together. Will this stop? No, but I can let it go this time.
Yeah. I mean, the part of it that's believable is that Joey would have done the research to like find every single teeny tiny scholarship she can.
Oh, yeah.
To put together like a patchwork quilt of funding. That part I'd buy.
Yes. No, that part I do buy.
I think that's smart. That's a smart way to do it. Eventually, she stands on Pacey's toes and acts irritated about it, but it's, you know, it's fucking adorable. You see the visual aids, them clomping around. Meanwhile, less adorably, Dawson finds a Durex condom on the floor of his bedroom, which he points right at the camera. We kept almost the same exact shot, but I did the one with the label showing so that you could see the Diet Pepsi of condoms. And that takes us into commercials.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
After the ads, walking into school the next day, Joey lists her study plan to a resistant Pacey, who makes sure Joey knows their participation in class cannot get out. Clip 8.
Pacey, do you really think I'm eager to have this information disseminated to the general public?
Perfect. Then we're in agreement, yeah?
No. You're in agreement, actually.
Mm-hmm. Sure are.
Anyway, they go on. Clip 9.
Exactly.
No one's to find out.
No one.
Perfect.
Find out what?
Nothing.
No. You tell him it's Dawson, right? We were just discussing the fact that I am really awful at home improvement and decor. Right. How are you with a roller?
I can hold my own.
Fantastic, because the Pacey J. Witter Memorial Edition to the Potter family home is in desperate need of painters and plasterers. All union wages.
Count me in.
Good to hear. All right, so, Joey.
Yeah,
okay, let's do that.
Hold on, Pacey, I want to talk to you for a second.
Yes. I can't talk at all right now. I'm really trying to stay off Miss Milo's top 10 most tardy list. Can I get you after school? Yeah? Okay.
Find another way to make this a secret where they like end up tailed to the dance school.
Yeah.
There were like four other ways to do this that was not this. Like there's like getting out, which who cares? But then there's like this is the rest of the credits cast. This is dumb.
Yes. There's no reason to keep that from Dawson unless you put in a line of like, I'm worried he's going to get all annoyed that I didn't ask him first, like Joey saying.
Right.
That. But which would have made sense. Yeah. I guess. Mm-hmm. But if he has caught them, then you just have to be, this is not the person they would want to keep it from because he's going to like bully them, which is what Pacey was implying earlier. But
yeah,
I'll also say someone like Pacey, whose whole self-image is, you know, fuck up, should be better at lying. That was bad.
Yeah.
I know it's TV, but even so.
Yeah, really. And even Dawson isn't so self-absorbed that he's not like, what's wrong with you? But he doesn't have a line about that. Yeah, this is, again, grading on a curve because I know they're trying to get out of one thing and into something else. Yes. And it's not always pretty in like between sweeps episodes to turn the corner without some sparks flying. But oof, clumso.
See, you said turning the corner with sparks flying. I was picturing them like trying to claw their way out of a deep, deep hole and just keep sliding back down. Both good metaphors for what we're dealing with, I think.
Either way.
Later, Jen walks into the video store in a cute skirt and no slip, but is soon disappointed to see the sex experiment is off for the day because Dawson is working and he doesn't know where Pacey is. Clip 10.
But he told me that he was working today. Must have gotten him confused.
Well, it's not surprising considering what a flake he's been lately. Hey, there aren't any especially doable new faculty members I don't know about, are there?
Yeah.
Dude.
Bad friend.
Ugh, bad writing.
Bad writing.
He was a victim. If you, like, that was a mistake. Don't bring it up.
Yeah. When Dawson explains that he suspects Pacey's acting sketchy because he has a new secret/elderly girlfriend, Jen gets insecure. Dawson tells her about finding Pacey in his bedroom the previous day and a condom on the floor that night before running into Joey and Pacey seeming conspiratorial about something at school, and Jen looks alarmed. At school, Pacey and Joey bicker over the pace of his progress. Clip 11.
It's just that recently, whenever I crack a book to study, it's like I automatically want to be doing something else. Anything else. I mean, it seems to me that under the previous regimes in my life, every time I was studying, I was given a reward.
I offered you Chex Mix.
And I'm not talking about Chex Mix. I'm talking about Tamara, and I'm talking about Andy.
You should be.
Let's just say that those two ladies, they trained me to equate studying with...
With what?
Sex. I equate studying with sex. Sex with studying. Now I get the studying, but no sex. You understand? So it's a little hard to get motivated these days.
So what you're saying is that you're merely the innocent victim in some behavioral psychology experiment gone horribly awry.
Yeah.
And that you're desperately in need of some able-bodied female to help you provoke those preconditioned Pavlovian homework responses.
Yes.
That is the worst pickup line I've ever heard, Pacey.
Thanks, Toots. But I wasn't hitting on you.
Toots.
It takes a very special kind of person to get away with that, and he
yeah,
does.
And I regret to say that he is that person. Yeah, this is like kind of another shitty sellout of Andy, but oh well, let's just get through it.
I offered you Chex Mix was my favorite line in that.
And exchange. You should have accepted it. Like, yes. Sex is great and all, but Chex Mix, come on. Come on.
Pacey says he has prospects, and Joey cracks up and asks who, assuming that he is lying when he says that she prefers to be anonymous. Joey asks whether this could turn into a relationship or if it's just a free trade agreement, and Pacey says, clip 12.
If you had the opportunity to be with somebody, no questions asked, no strings attached, no awkward first dates, no waiting by the phone, no any of that, totally on the surface, 100% casual, what would you do? Would you go for it?
A totally empty, emotionally unfulfilling sexual experience? That sounds great.
You're not listening to me. I'm being serious, but it's kind of a limited time offer. So I just thought I'd ask you. What do you think?
Pacey, I think that if you really wanted to be having casual sex with someone right now, you'd be doing it instead of sitting here having a hypothetical discussion about it.
Nailed it. End of episode.
Time. Yep. Back at the video store, Dawson's gotten Jen to help him assemble a Hitchcock display, so she's in the window in time to see Pacey and his giant jeans meeting up with Joey. Dawson looks stricken, and Jen asks if the store has a back-in-five sign, so when Pacey and Joey are back in dance class having a grand old time, Dawson and Jen spy on them from the doorway, really making no effort to conceal themselves. But as they try to leave, the instructor, whose name is Penny Pretty, basically shoves them inside and makes them join the class, yelling to the other students about the new young people. And it's awkward for everyone except Dawson, who loves this kind of affirmation, as we know. And after the commercial, our two teen pairs are waltzing and snitting at each other. Penny rolls by to congratulate herself for being right that Dawson and Jen are naturals, better than Pacey and Joey, who have been there all week. And she goes on, clip 13.
But you used to date, didn't you?
Not right now, okay?
I'm right, aren't I? You dated, it didn't work out, but then you got past all of your issues, and now you actually trust each other, right? See, you can see that in the dancing. You can see that the trust is there. Now, these two, on the other hand, whole different story. I mean, look at them. Look at their form. Look at the tension in their arms.
Okay, is there some sort of problem here?
Well, what did I say about rib cages touching? Can we do that? Sorry.
It's just not going to happen, all
right? Right. You see what I mean? See the hostility, the way they're wary with each other, not to mention the constant bickering and name-calling. Now, these two clearly are in the early stages of some screwball mating ritual.
What?
Okay, you've got it all wrong, lady.
Really? I do.
Oh, completely.
Actually, you could not be more wrong.
Protest more.
I'm gonna. And usually the under five or like just over five that they task with delivering this parallel circumstances monologue is not good, but this actor is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's adorable.
Yeah.
Based on Pacey and Joey's extraordinarily terrible dancing, Penny says there's enough sexual tension here to power a Kiss reunion tour. Which, do you know what Kiss is? It's weird.
Do you not know what kind of music Kiss is? I'm guessing no.
Dawson quietly asks Penny to elaborate, and she says, in her experience, people who suck that bad are usually hot for each other, and Jen and Dawson both look shocked. And later, Penny announces that they're playing musical partners, mixing them up to partner Jen and Joey and Dawson with Pacey. And if it's true that Vanderbeek and Jackson weren't getting along at this point in the run, you're crazy for this one, Gina Fattori.
Mm-hmm.
But when the music stops, they'll reach for the nearest available partner. And here we go. Clip 14.
So when did you and Pacey discover your mutual love of ballroom dancing?
Obviously just moments before you and Dawson did.
I can't get over how weird it was to see you in my room the other day. What's going on?
Not everybody's got the dazzling array of electronics available to them in their bedroom that you do.
And that's the only reason that you were in my house when I wasn't there.
No. There's always the lure of the Leary kitchen. Which, I have to say, has kind of lost its luster in Mitch's reign of terror.
So what was the condom for?
What?
The condom I found in my room.
Switch!
Excuse me for a second. We're dead. He found the condom.
I know. I've already talked to him about it. I wouldn't worry.
Really? You don't think Dawson's going to mind that we've been mapping out each other's erogenous zones between his sheets?
The question's moot. He's not on to us.
He's not?
No. Well, at least he's not on to me. He's cast somebody else as the female lead.
Of course he has. So yeah. We cut to Joey and Dawson. When she tells him about the scholarship, he does his baby voice to ask why she had Pacey partner her instead of him. Maybe because 2 episodes ago she tried to rekindle something with you and you shut her down. But she tells him the actual order of events. He has just asked if they're only friends when Penny tells him to switch again, and Pacey pulls Joey away to explain Dawson's misapprehension. She can't believe he would ever get that impression about them. Pacey starts talking around the circumstances when they have to switch again, and Dawson drags Pacey off to ask what's going on. Pacey tells him the truth about the tutoring for dance trade, and clip 15.
You know, what's much more interesting to me is that out of all the possible blonde and brunette combinations of women that you and I both know, the first one that popped into your mind is Joey. Now, why is that, do you think?
Yes, you're not going to get out of this by attempting to psychoanalyze me.
I'm just asking a simple question. Hey, Dawson, you and Joey, she's not your girlfriend anymore.
Right, she's not.
Right. So then why are we having this conversation? You see where I'm going with this? I mean, you're the same guy who told me a couple weeks ago that the two of you just needed to go your separate ways.
Yeah, we do need to go our separate ways. It just never occurred to me that...
That what? That she would actually go her separate way, too. Or perhaps it didn't occur to you that her separate way would include a stopover at me. Is that what it is? God, man, this is the way it always is with you. You talk and talk, but you don't listen to yourself. I mean, you say you're over her, but you're not. They're just words. They don't mean anything to you.
Look, you don't know what you're talking about.
Look at that girl, Dawson. You just take a good look. She's a freaking goddess, man. How long did you think it was going to be before some guy comes along and is interested in her? I mean, really, dude? And when that happens, what are you going to do?
I'm just going to take it all as it comes.
You're going to take it as it comes, hombre. Well, perhaps you should start figuring out right now. Because the guy that comes along is not going to be your best friend, and he's not going to ask for your permission. The guy that comes along is going to take one look at that woman and just cut right in on you.
Some of that was true, and some of that was false.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dawson isn't satisfied and points out that Pacey still hasn't said where the condom came from. Pacey, exhausted, wanders away as Penny calls another switch. Jen follows him, and Dawson and Joey are left on the dance floor staring at each other. So Pacey leaves, bitching about Dawson. Jen follows him to the coat room. Clip 16.
Here we are again. Though I have to say, the storyline is starting to stretch the limits of believability.
Starting?
Yep.
Feel free to wrap it up then.
The writers know they're trying to fix it, apparently because you complained. But in the context of the scene, Pacey says what's not credible is that he and Jen made their friends with benefits deal, but still haven't done anything more than kiss, mostly badly. He puts his arm around her and she laces her fingers in his. And as they lean their heads together, Jen guesses this is Pacey's way of saying he's ready for a return to Witch Island. And he uses too many words to say basically yes. And outside the studio, Dawson's apologizing to Joey for suspecting her and Pacey of fooling around, but says Pacey is sleeping with somebody, which is when they enter the coat room and see Pacey and Jen making out. Dawson proves Penny right that he's really over any lingering feelings for Jen, because his reaction when he sees them is a blurt laugh, like when he walked in on Jack and Abby. R.I.P. No one else seems to think it's funny, especially not Joey. And after the commercials, the scene resumes, even though it seems like this time they did get something going. Jen still has her hand on Pacey's neck as they're sitting there frozen. Pacey and Jen say, "This is nothing," clip 17.
Doesn't look like nothing.
Believe me, man, we've done exhaustive research in this area. It's nothing.
Pacey and I are just friends.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days? You guys are so stupid. You're both gonna get hurt by this.
Nobody's gonna get hurt by this.
We both agreed that neither of us have our emotions in it.
And you're proud of that fact.
Joey, we were just messing around.
Dawson?
They lost me at nothing.
Pacey, this isn't you. I mean, Jen, maybe you're trying to prove something to somebody about
her.
Whoa,
hey, slow down. This was as much my decision as it was hers, okay?
So is that why you named your boat True Love? Because you think it's okay for casual acquaintances or even friends to just, you know, use each other as scratching posts?
I knew you weren't going to understand.
You know what? I understand. I understand just fine.
Scratching posts, so gross.
I know. God. Also, so dated. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Who talks like that?
When Joey and Dawson have left, Jen notes that she's never seen anyone so worked up about a kiss. So Pacey admits that Joey knows about their arrangement because he had asked her for some hypothetical advice about it. And obviously she put the pieces together. Jen thinks it's funny that he went to her. Clip 18.
Can I ask you something, Pacey? What is it about her?
Huh?
She's obviously got something that makes boys in emotional turmoil just flock to her.
Come again?
Come on, Dawson's the same way. Whatever small problem got to him, he went straight to Joey.
So who else would you have me talk to? I can't exactly go to Andy with something like this, so I guess I'm supposed to commune with Deputy Doug then.
Dawson. Why couldn't you just go to Dawson? Unless, of course, you now feel uncomfortable talking to him about your sex life, considering...
Considering what?
That your current girl Friday used to be his.
Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Dawson Leary didn't actually know about you and I until, what, 2 minutes ago?
We're talking about us.
What, Joey? This has nothing to do with Joey.
Pacey, I saw the way that you overreacted to Dawson. I saw the way that Joey overreacted to us. I know that you're having trouble in math these days, but it doesn't take Einstein to get the sum total of these two overreactions.
You're going to have to explain this one to me, because I got to be missing something here. You're talking about Joey Potter. Right? The one who can't walk into the same room with me without gagging? Huh? That Joey Potter? There was nothing going on between
us.
No,
Pacey, there's nothing between us. No matter what we do, it's not gonna work out between us.
Promise?
No, it's not, is it?
No.
That really does feel final. Like, we are putting it in text. These two characters
yeah.
shall not bone.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank God, because I think you were convinced of the chemistry, but I was not. And I'm glad that I don't have to pretend that I am any longer.
I mean, not the whole way through. I think they're in the moments where they're like, oh, okay. Like, I was there with them. But yes, overall, mm-hmm. it didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
She asks if Pacey's disappointed, and he sure looks it as he says he is, but also thinks he's a little relieved, and she is too, and apparently so were these actors, according to reports.
Mm-hmm.
She starts to leave, then comes back to take his hand, handshake season, and say, thanks for nothing. Walking home, the writers, I mean Dawson, try to retcon the Pacey-Jen experiment, clip 19.
Pacey's brooding, disillusioned, tough guy persona was destined to collide with Jen's fake sexual bravado. It's inevitable.
Dawson, you're the ultimate romantic. How can you not be more upset about this?
If Jen and Pacey want to mess around in a courtroom, that's their business.
Toss and you don't understand what's going on. They made some sort of casual sex pact. They're just using each other.
Joey, we're all guilty of that. At least you're being upfront about it.
So you buy into this whole raging hormones theory. You think it's okay for two people who aren't in love to just let their sexual impulses run wild?
No, what I'm saying is if Jen and Pacey made some sort of agreement, I don't think they made it because they wanted sex. I think they wanted comfort.
Yeah, I'm sure that's all they were doing in your bed, Dawson. Providing each other with comfort.
It's not impossible. I mean, it's all you and I ever did.
Not for lack of trying on her part, dude. Too soon. Still too soon.
Yeah.
Judging by her reaction, especially.
Yeah. And this is both like pleasingly so, but out of character for Dawson. And yep. Once again, in character for the show, in that this is absolutely not how anyone, even twice that age, thinks about transactional fuck buddy relationships. So, mm-hmm. I mean, at least I don't feel like slapping him, but
mm-hmm. That's nice for him for a change.
Yeah. It's nice for us too. We have to spend a lot of time in this dude's creek. It's nice to not want to drown him in it.
This dude's creek. An uncharacteristically
Ew, sorry.
generous Dawson tells Joey to give Jen and Pacey a break. They're just lonely. Joey doesn't think that's an excuse for throwing yourself at the first warm body. Could Dawson have sex with someone he didn't love? He says he couldn't, and neither could Joey, but he understands the impulse to put a hand out and want someone to take it, even if it's wrong. But if a kiss is purely physical with nothing behind it, she wonders, what's the point? Dawson says the point is you can't control those feelings. Can't Joey understand that even if they're wrong, they exist? Joey doesn't want to engage with that question, so it's convenient that she forgot her coat inside. And when she looks into the studio, she sees Pacey moping at a table alone. They make eye contact and she starts to go, but then turns back, watches him looking sad a little more, and joins him. He tells her he and Jen never actually had sex or even got close. Clip 20.
It's none of my business what you guys did or didn't do. I'm sorry I overreacted.
Yeah, you did overreact, didn't you?
Don't act so smug. I'm not saying you're right or that I approve of what you guys are doing.
We're doing. I'd say the time limit on the limited time offer has probably run out now. So you got your coat. What made you come in here?
Dawson. He convinced me to take pity on your poor misguided testosterone-impaired self.
He did that, did he?
Afraid so.
Man. Guess I owe him another one, huh?
You do.
You don't.
Mm-mm. Never.
His bad friend ass is in the hole with the storyline mm-hmm. we're trying to crawl away from.
Yeah.
As they start to leave, Penny tells them another class is about to start. Pacey says they do still have a scholarship to earn, which is when Penny admits things have been tight lately and that scholarship is not available. Which, yeah, of course, you're giving away classes to Jen and Dawson, just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Penny can offer them 6 months of classes. Joey's not interested, but Pacey laughs that they might have found their calling. I mean, in a sense, but Joey says he wasn't that good and hauls him out and we're on our way. Goodbye forever, Alex Ganza. Smell you later. It's over. Let's close up by naming our episode MVP. Greg Berlanti doing a pretty good job writing himself out of this bad story situation with the yeah. team. Gina Fattori is the credited writer on this episode, but, you know, under his guidance as a showrunner.
Like, it wasn't great, but if you're going to try to get out of it, like, just do it as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I will go with Penny.
Love that.
Decent insight, well delivered for once. And now we're, you know, almost on the other side of this divide here. So.
So true. Least valuable player. The person, presumably a guy who wrote Dear Homo to Jack.
Yeah. Climate change? How is anyone stomping around in December in Massachusetts with no tights or slip under a filmy little skirt?
Mm-hmm.
Next time on Again With This, a college visit to Boston University leads to flirtations for Joey and Jack, advice for Andy, and affirmation for your co-hosts when Kendra the Vampire Slayer tells Dawson his Witch Island doc ain't shit. Will he flare his nostrils in response? I mean, yes, but better check our visual aids to confirm. All the important screenshots and GIFs from this and every other episode are there at againwiththispodcast.com. That is also home to the entire archive of episodes of Again With This, including 90210 and Melrose episodes, againwiththispodcast.com/subscribe. And you can call or text us anytime, 210-767-2237. Questions, comments, memories of Barclay classes, we are here for all of your shares. I am Box Step Merit Scholar Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Printed Out Email, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is in agreement. Talk to you next time.
You're making a mockery.
The mockery has been made.
Woo!
Woo!
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.